In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this morning's epistle, St. Paul uses a metaphor to describe the church. The church as a building, specifically as the temple of God. You know, the temple of God in Jerusalem was God's dwelling place on earth. God commanded Moses that a dwelling should be built for him so that he could dwell in the midst of his people. So the temple for Jews and for us represents God's dwelling place. But St. Paul says the temple is no longer a physical building. It's no longer, you know, stones and timbers, but rather it is us, it is people. It is made up of us and our lives that we live for Christ. St. Paul says that the foundation of this building has been laid by him and by the other apostles. They are the master builders who learned from Christ their trade, and they laid the foundation of faith for us all. And he says, no one can build except for on this foundation. There is no other foundation on which to build a church. And that foundation is Jesus Christ, and specifically the apostles' teaching about Jesus Christ, the knowledge of him, the understanding of him that they conveyed to us by their preaching and by their written words in the New Testament. Then he says that others will be building on that foundation. And that's all of us. All of us are builders building on that foundation that St. Paul laid. You know, the temple wasn't just one room. Actually, it was a complex of many rooms. There were all different kinds of rooms in the temple. There were, of course, the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place, but then there were storerooms, there were kitchens, because the sacrifices were prepared into meals that the worshipers shared. There were dining rooms, there were storerooms, there were all these different rooms in the temple. And so what St. Paul envisages here is that this great temple, this dwelling place of God, is being constructed. And each one of us is responsible for building a room in that temple. We each have our own room that we're responsible to build. St. Paul goes on. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire. He's extending this metaphor of the building and talking about the materials. Like, what are we going to build our rooms in this temple with? Will it be precious things? Things that endure? Gold, silver, precious stones? Or will it be things that are common? Things that are easily destroyed? Like wood, hay, or straw. What he means here is, as we're building our room and our part of the temple, it's our choices in our lives that are the building materials that construct that room. Our actions, our words. So are our actions or words gold, silver, and precious stones? Are they things that are, you know, beyond the ordinary? Are they the precious gifts of love and faithfulness and hope, goodness, gentleness and patience and all these virtues that Christ has taught us? Will we build our rooms with virtues? Or are we lazy? And instead grab, you know, things that are easier to obtain, things that are more common. Wood, hay, and straw, and these are the vices. You know, will we build our Christian life with things like pride or greed or slothfulness, selfishness? St. Paul says that what we use to build on that foundation of Jesus Christ, our actions as Christians, will be revealed, he says, in the day. That's technical terminology for the last day, the day of judgment, when Christ will come again and he will judge everyone according to how they have lived their lives. And here St. Paul describes the last judgment as if God is some kind of crazy building inspector. And he wants to test and see how enduring this building is, so he sets it on fire. Right? That's a good way to prove whether it's fireproof or not, right? So he sets the building on fire. But what is this fire? This fire that will come and reveal the quality of everyone's lives. That fire is the very presence of God. You know, God's presence is often described as fire because of his power, because of his glory, his shining glory. You know, fire sort of represents the presence of God, but also in the Orthodox tradition, fire as the presence of God represents also the love of God. The love of God is like fire. You know, it's not, God's love is not sort of like sweet saccharine, you know, go along with everything you're doing. He loves you with intensity. He loves you with great intensity. He wants you for himself. Our God is a jealous God. He created us. He loves us. He wants us to be with him. He wants us for himself. He wants to cherish our company and our presence. He also wants our good. Even when we don't want our good, he wants our good. So sometimes he does hard things in order to benefit us. But it's this intense love that God has, this fiery love that God has. And the saints teach us that as we approach that day of judgment, which is coming, that we ought to prepare ourselves by learning how to live with God's love, learning how to accept God's love, how to receive his love, how to benefit from his love, not running away from him, not resisting him, and definitely not ignoring him, but opening our lives up to him. Because right now, God's fiery love is sort of veiled. He gives us the choice of whether to receive his love, whether to encounter his love or not. And that's a benefit for us. Because in the last day, God's presence and God's love will be unveiled. And if we're not ready for it, it will burn us up. And specifically, as St. Paul says here, it will burn up everything that we've valued and treasured that is not worthy of him. So all of the fame that we've accumulated, all of the power and pleasure and money and possessions that we have focused on, all of those worldly things that we've invested our actions in, will be consumed by the fire of his love. But if we have built our lives with virtue, gold, silver, precious stones, what does that fire do to those? It doesn't burn them up. It causes them to shine more brightly. It reveals their beauty even more. It reflects back, those precious virtues reflect back God's love to him. So our actions will be revealed by the fire of God's love when he comes again. St. Paul goes on. He says, if the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, if it is virtuous, if it's gold, silver, and precious stones, he will receive a reward. He'll receive that unveiled presence of God that he longs for as one who loves God. But if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Now, there have been several interpretations of this throughout history. There's sort of a Roman Catholic interpretation, maybe, that sees this as purgatory. Like, if you have a lot of vices, if you made a lot of mistakes in your life, well, those will be burned up, but you will come through, eventually, come through that fire and end up in heaven with God. That's one interpretation, not our interpretation. There is another interpretation of Protestants that I grew up with, which said it's sort of a once saved, always saved interpretation. It says, even if you live the most terrible life and your life is completely wood, hay, and straw, okay, all of that will be burned up and you won't get a reward, but you'll still come into heaven because you believed in Jesus. Believed in Jesus. Well, that's also not our interpretation. So what does this mean? Well, we have to have an understanding of the Greek and also some help from St. John Chrysostom. St. John Chrysostom explains to us that St. Paul uses the word saved here ironically. The word save in Greek doesn't just mean get into heaven. That's sort of like the Christian meaning that we assume when we hear that word in church. But think about the word save in other contexts. It means to preserve, right? It means to kind of rescue, heal. It can mean all of those things as different levels of meaning. Well, St. Paul says, if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. That word that's translated, it's one word translated suffer loss. It also means to pay a fine or to be punished. We might say it will cost him. It will cost him. He himself will be preserved because we won't disappear, right? Even the wicked who end up in hell will persevere in existence. Their existence will be preserved eternally. But that won't be a benefit for them. That will actually increase and enhance their loss, because they will wish that the suffering can disappear by ending their life. It won't be possible. They themselves will be preserved in existence, but only as through fire. Greek prepositions, like here it's translated through, are very difficult because they have a broad range of meaning. And you have to really understand the context and the possibilities in order to understand, like, which meaning in that range of meanings is intended. Well, the preposition via can mean through, but it can also mean as in passing through and ending up on the other side. But it can also mean in the midst of, like you're passing through, but you're remaining in. It's like being surrounded by. So their existence will be preserved, but only as if surrounded by fire, which is a good warning for us to take seriously this teaching that St. Paul gives us. He goes on to say that God's temple is holy, His Spirit dwells in it, and we are that temple that God dwells in by His Holy Spirit. And a final warning, if anyone destroys God's temple, actually it's ruins or spoils. If anyone ruins God's temple by building with materials that are unworthy of that temple, by building on the foundation of Jesus Christ, our lives with vices, with worldly things, then God will ruin him. God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, it's precious, it's to be respected and cared for. And that temple, he says, you are. By the way, that these yous in here are plural, y'all are. Because all of us together are the temple. All of us together are the temple. So let us help one another as well to build appropriately on the foundation of Jesus Christ, learning and practicing the virtues, so that when Christ comes again with that fire of judgment, that fire of His love, our lives will shine brilliantly in His presence. To Him be glory, honor, and worship, together with His Father and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.